Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because it can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hi, I'm Kendra.
And I'm Jade.
And you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. Our regular host, Anne, she had a baby, little Nora James.
Nora's gorgeous.
She is beautiful. So keep her in your prayers. She's going to be gone for a few weeks, but we have my amazing friend, Jade, who is a regular fill-in host for us. We love having you.
I enjoy doing this. Yes.
So today's topic, first of all, for those that you don't know, this is a show for couples struggling with infertility, miscarriage, adoption, however God's building your family. We want to help you through that journey, cling to Christ in the middle
of it. Walk alongside you. Mm-hmm. Yes. I love
it. Be your cheerleader. So we're in the middle of a series that we've kind of been going back to about the name, the Hebrew names of God. And the Lord laid this series on my heart when we were trying to conceive my current daughter in the womb. And I was just consumed with like, what names could we potentially name the baby? And then I would get ahead of myself and then I'd be like, you're going to jinx it and it's not going to work. And I just got all up in my head. And I was like, God, I need something to focus on during the season of my life. And He said, well, if you're focusing on names, how about focusing on my name? Because my name and my character never changes.
Come on.
And you don't know if you're going to have a boy or a girl or even have a child, but you know me, you know my character. And I just thought, so I got this book about the Hebrew names of God, and it says, it's called To Know Him by Name by Rabbi. Oh, I just blanked. I'll get it. I'll put it in the show notes.
It's okay.
By a rabbi.
Just Google it. Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
my rabbi. And it goes through all the different Hebrew names of God. And as I was reading them, I was like, this is so perfect for anybody struggling with infertility or miscarriage, because each one of these attributes of the character of God meets a very specific need that I have struggled with during these things. So that's the backstory.
And I love that the one that we're going over today, because this is one that I have to cling to.
Yes.
And when you brought it to my attention, which is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. When you brought that to my attention, I just thought, man, he is our provider. He is my, I made it personal. He is my provider. Yeah. 6.5 years, no little one, but He has provided to sustain me. He has provided me, being enabling me to go to baby showers when I feel led, which there's something that Anne has said before where how there were moments where in her journey of infertility where she chose not to go to a baby shower, which I think there's a time and place for that.
Yeah.
But I do know, like, when y'all have, you've had your child, your first one, and then when Anne had this Nora's baby shower, I did kind of go through a moment where I was just like, oh man, not that I wasn't rejoicing with her, but it was all, more of I was focused with my own struggle. But I went, and I'm so glad I went, which we'll get into that more, because God provided Jehovah Jireh a way for me to remove my feelings, to be supportive, and to love my neighbor.
So good. I love that you brought up that the provision that we're talking about is not just financial. Now, with infertility specifically, I feel like a big part of understanding God the provider is like, you know, we struggle with like, if I'm going to do this fertility treatment, how expensive it is, and can I afford this one? So there is an element of that where if God calls you to need to do a fertility treatment, He is more than able to provide what you need, or to provide the circumstance, the right doctor, the situation, all of those things. But God's provision isn't always a child. Sometimes it's peace for the wait. Sometimes it's all of those things you mentioned. So we're going to jump into all of that. I just want to give a little shout out. Jade went to Bible school, y'all.
Oh my goodness, don't do that.
She did. So she's got all of these notes.
No.
If you're like, how does she get so smart? It's because
it's the Holy Spirit.
She did all
and
that.
And I am not that smart. It's the Holy Ghost. And I'm still learning and growing. Kendra, no, you are a Bible scholar.
Well, we're going to try to break this story down for you.
We're going to do our best,
What I love about the different Hebrew names of God is they all come from a specific time and place and person and story. So I didn't realize this when I started studying them. So the first one we did was on Yahweh, the Hebrew name of God, which sometimes you might hear this name pronounced Jehovah. It's technically should be pronounced more Yahweh is closer.
See?
But well, I had to read, I read the book. You know, and Jehovah is kind of more the Christian like sounding version of it. So I'm going to go with that because that's what people probably know. Mm-hmm. But just know I'm talking about Yahweh. It's that sacred, holy name of God. It's his personal name that he revealed to Moses. So that name is in front of Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah all of these. So, but we're going to focus on the second part of it, the Jireh, and that means the Lord will provide. So it comes from a story.
Come on.
Tell me about the story.
Oh my goodness.
Did you get to read up on it?
It's one of my favorite stories of Abraham. Yeah. And just seeing how, so the Lord has given him his son, Isaac, mm-hmm. and the Lord is telling him, go get your son, because mm-hmm. you're about to sacrifice him.
Your one and only son.
Your one and only son.
Your promised son.
Yes. It took them years. They were up in age before mm-hmm. Sarah and Abraham had Isaac. We're not going to talk about Ishmael. But before they had Isaac, it took them years. They were up in age. I remember Sarah even was like, how am I going to have a child? Mm-hmm. I'm old. But Abraham, God had been so faithful to him, and Abraham had been faithful to the Lord. Mm-hmm. He obeyed God and went out into the area that the Lord was sending mm-hmm. him to go to sacrifice his son. Now, he hadn't told his son, I'm about to sacrifice your son, but his son followed him and two other, I guess you could say maids, they're male maids. I don't know the proper term, but where did you want to start? What verse?
Let's start. Would you read from verse one? Read it all.
Let's do it. All right. Genesis chapter 22, people, verse one. Now, it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take now your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Come on, y'all, obedience. Let me tell you something. When we obey the Lord, he will provide whatever that need is, but you got to make that first step. I think about Peter in that boat. People like to give Peter a hard time, but hey, he stepped out on faith. So Abraham said to his young men, stay here and the donkey and I and the lad will go over there and we will worship and return to you. Verse 6, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac. Y'all, he's about to sacrifice his only son, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Verse 7, you want me to keep going? You want to take over?
Pause for just a second.
Okay, girl, what you got? This is rich.
How did he worship God in that moment? Because I'm going to be honest, if you tell me, sometimes God asks us to do something hard, and you do it because you're obedient, but you're like, at the same time, I'm not ready to just dance and sing and put on a worship song here, you know? But how did Abraham move? He had his actions here show that he's planning on being obedient and sacrificing his son. And the word that just stood out while you were reading it was burnt offering. I don't know why, just the thought of burnt is so descriptive of this is my child.
The way I see it is when God, so it said that God was testing Abraham. Mm-hmm. I do believe God will put us in situations to see, am I really your God? Or is that baby that you desire your God? Or is that job your God? Like that little G-O-D, idol, which, you know, I've shared this before on the program, that an idol is anything or anyone that captivates your heart, mind, and affections more than God. And so I believe that it is a form of worship when we're willing to lay down our idols, our gods that we want to show the God, the universe, the creator of all that we see and not, that you really are enough. Even though our emotions may play a part, but our actions to me speak louder. Because eventually, I do believe our emotions will line up. Because we got hormones, you know, which I know we've talked about that on this program as well, our hormones. But when you are still actively obedient by your actions and through your words, I do believe that the Lord will line up your emotions.
Well, and just to get a little peek into the mindset of Abraham in the book of Hebrews, there's this chapter called the faith chapter, right? And it's by faith so-and-so said to this.
11.
And so when they're talking about Abraham, they say that Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. So we get in a little peek into what Abraham was thinking. So he's like, I'm going to kill my son. God promised me that I was going to have a whole nation that comes from me. So if I'm understanding the way God's going to work, then this logically doesn't make sense. but God could bring him back from the dead. Yeah. Like, I don't know if there had been, I don't know what miracles had, I mean, this is Genesis, so I don't think.
Kendra, I'm feeling this.
I don't think anybody's been raised from the dead yet.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
And what it tells me also, Abraham knew his God. Mm-hmm. He knew his character. He had a relationship with the Lord. Mm-hmm. A lot of times when people, that is faith. That is faith. When people think that God is evil, which I've dealt with that, mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie, with our infertility struggles, not anymore. Mm-hmm. I've had to repent of that because that is not God's character. He mm-hmm. is good, even when he does not give us what we want. Mm-hmm. He answers all prayers. No is an answer.
Mm. Oh, that's good, Jade. Keep reading for us.
Oh, okay. All right, y'all, here we go. Verse 7, Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Mm. Abraham said, "Y'all, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." So the two of them walked on together. Verse 9, then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son. Y'all, are you seeing the obedience? This is an act of worship. That's
obedience worship. On both son and father.
Yes.
Because Isaac's go ahead, Dad, I trust you.
Because I sure would have been like, Daddy, what you doing
Daddy. Right now? I'm out.
Why am I holding this out. And you got a knife over me?
Yeah.
Right. Yes, and so the end of verse 9, son Isaac, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Verse 10, Abraham stretched out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me."
Mm.
Woo! Obedience. Do you love God enough? Like, okay, so Psalm chapter 37, verse 4 is what crossed my mind when I was preparing for this episode. Psalm 37, 4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Mm. People love to quote that, right? He's not going to give you your desires. When you delight in someone, you're admiring them. Mm-hmm. You're like how, you know how we admire the sunset, the sunrise, right. Mountains. But when you admire a person, you're around them, you want to be with them, then you'll find yourself catching on, talking mm-hmm. the way they talk, maybe even mm-hmm. walk the way they walk. So when we admire, delight thyself, think about this, admire in the Lord, spend time with him, he's going to put in mm-hmm. you his desires. Those are the desires that he gives you. Mm-hmm. I grew up sadly in that whole speak it, claim it. Y'all mm-hmm. know what I mean when I say that? I'm not in that camp anymore where you speak things into existence, which we are not God. Right. He's the only one that does that. He's the only one. I can't control him. No.
There's power in our tongue, don't get me wrong.
Right, right.
We can speak life or death, but only God can create
things. Exactly. And when we delight in him, he will give us his desires. Mm-hmm. And those
that's
are the
another
ones
thing he provides. He provides for us the emotions needed.
Yes.
Sometimes obedience comes first and the emotions follow, though.
I agree.
Right?
I totally agree. Because these emotions, especially us as women, mm-hmm. we are so emotional. Sometimes I get on my own nerves. Like, I really do. Like, I've told my husband sometimes, like, I get on my own nerves. I'm having a moment, okay? But you're absolutely right. That obedience, then those emotions will line up. Like, I'm sure mm-hmm. you've attested to that. How, like times, like, when I went to Ann's baby shower with baby Nora, I was excited. Now, mm-hmm. I was having some conflicted mm-hmm. emotions, nothing towards her. Please mm-hmm. hear me out, because I don't want anybody getting this the mm-hmm. wrong way. And one thing I love about Ann even said, "I understand if you don't feel mm-hmm. comfortable." Like mm-hmm. that takes a level of maturity sure. on both ends. But I went and I enjoyed worship.
The Lord provided for you.
Yes.
The proper heart position in
that's
order
it.
To be there.
Yes.
Well, keep reading because there's two more verses. Mm. I'd like you to read 13 and 14 because these are the verses where the phrase Jehovah Jireh actually comes
out. You're right. Verse 13. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," Jehovah Jireh, y'all. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it will be provided.
Whew. So there's a whole nother layer to the story. If you've seen Shrek,
there's a lot of layers.
"I'm an onion, I have layers." There's a whole nother layer. I don't even know if that's the right voice. But there's this layer of this parallel of this being Jesus, Abraham and his son, and God and his son.
Ooh.
Right?
Yes.
So when we're talking about, there's a lot of hints at it in this story. The first hint is when Abraham says, my son, God himself will provide the lamb. He uses the word lamb. Mm. What animal is actually provided in this story? It's a ram. It's not a lamb. Why? Because the true lamb that God's going to provide doesn't
come Kendra.
Till later. The true lamb is going
to
be Jesus.
You sure you didn't go to seminary?
Right?
that's heavy. Come on. I didn't tie it together.
And there's also, he doesn't name the place the Lord provided in the past tense, but you would think if he's like in this story, oh, God provided the ram. No, he says the Lord will provide. He's looking forward to a future provision. Mm-hmm. And it's a step in, you know, like, he was going to have to sacrifice his son, but instead, he did the ram.
Mm-hmm.
For us, it was supposed to be us on the altar being killed because of our sin. We do not deserve heaven. But Jesus stepped in and took our place.
Yes,
but from
Lord.
The Father's perspective, just as Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son, so was God the Father willing. And if you look at the phrase one and only, that Isaac was his only son, it appears two or three times in this passage. Mm-hmm. I think that's hearkening back to John 3:16. You know, that this was God's one and only son that he had, because technically Abraham did have another son through Ishmael. So I think the fact that he's saying one and only, it's referring to the promised son, through
Sarah.
Right? The one that the Messiah was supposed to come through. And here Jesus is God's one and only son.
Yes, this is good.
So the Lord will provide, being in the future sense. I just love that because it's a promise, mm-hmm. not just to us, of a one-time event,
right.
but the character of God that you can lean. If I said somebody gave me a hamburger in the past tense, then it's like, man, there was one hamburger. If I said somebody will give me the hamburger, it's like those punch cards that you can come to Wendy's and keep getting.
Yes, yes.
When you say he's the God who will provide,
yes, Lord.
He's going to do it again and again and again in every single circumstance that you need him to be God the provider.
Yes, Lord. Yes, come on, Kendra.
And what he provided ultimately was Jesus. Okay, sorry. One more parallel.
Don't you apologize? This is good.
The last part says, so the Lord will provide, and to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided.
What mountain
are we talking about? It just says the mountain of the Lord. So this happened on Mount Moriah. So the temple of God ended up being built right on top of this place that this happened.
Mm.
So think about this. Every year the priest would sacrifice the lamb and bring the blood of a lamb to cleanse the sins of the people. Every year this is fulfilled on that spot because it is being provided. But ultimately, it was Jesus' blood. So we're talking about also another mountain that was really close to Mount Moriah called Calvary, y'all. And on that mountain, it would be provided. It was so close. So there's just like so many layers to the way they're phrasing
this. Because you bring in so many. So you're saying where Abraham sacrificed, God's temple was on Mount Moriah.
Yep.
And that it wasn't too far from where Jesus was crucified.
Correct.
Wow.
And it's the exact spot that the blood would have been, you know, the representation of the temple, of bringing the blood from the sacrifice into the Father.
This is what makes the gospel so powerful, because y'all understand that in the Old Testament, they had to regularly bring in an offering to cover their sins. Mm-hmm. Jesus died on that cross one time, and his blood washed away.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't cover, it washed away. That is why, man, I love Hannah's heart, but I want to say this, because you probably can listen to this show and think, well, Ann and Kendra got a baby, what about me? Look, he does not promise you children,
amen.
But he does promise that he'll be with you, that you can still have life more abundantly. It may look different. I don't know when I'm going to have a child.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I want one. Does it hurt me? Yes, but it doesn't hurt as much. Why? Mm-hmm. Because I'm willing to also put myself in uncomfortable situations where he is stretching me, where he is growing me, where I don't avoid people. I have done that. I will admit, but I don't do it as frequently. Why? Because I got to love my neighbor as myself. Matthew chapter 22, if I may,
please.
Verse 37, verse 38. Jesus is speaking. He says, and he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. And then verse 38 says, secondly, the second commandment is loving your neighbor as thyself.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, that is the whole purpose of this walk with the Lord, is loving God with whatever he gives you.
Well,
in this life,
there's so many ways that God provided for me during my season of infertility.
Yes.
He provided peace. He provided the doctor, the timing of getting appointments in. He provided when I lost our baby.
Mm.
He was there. But all of those little moments of provision pointed back to the original point of provision on Calvary,
yes,
when he was on that cross for my sins. And the only reason that he provided me peace, mm, and hope and joy on the journey was because I had him.
Yes.
The ultimate knowing that that sacrifice was made for me, that I have enough, that I have... my needs are met completely and fully and sufficiently in him. And there's a song we're going to play later to close the show out about Jehovah Jireh. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. But there's a line in it that's talking about, you're more than enough.
Yes.
You're more than enough. You've always been enough for me.
Yes.
And it's so hard when you're in a place of wanting something and you get so fixated on that thing that you want and can't have to think that you have enough.
Right.
But when you go back to the cross.
Come on.
Those things don't matter.
He's done enough.
He's done enough for me, and I have enough in him.
Yes.
Because I have salvation, my very life. I escaped from the flames of, you know,
Jesus.
I was snatched from hell.
Yes.
Because of what he did for me. When you have that as your perspective,
mm-hmm,
then you say, Lord, if I get a baby, it's sprinkles.
It's yes.
It's icing on the cake.
Right.
But I don't need it.
Right. Exactly. And you like, oh, Kendra, that was so powerful. And in order to get the illumination, mm-hmm, as the Calvinist would say, mm-hmm, or to the point where this passion about knowing what Christ has did on the cross, mm-hmm, it takes you spending time on that word.
Mm.
It's like, instead of you crying, like, and there's nothing wrong with crying over wanting something, because wanting children, mm-hmm, is an honorable thing. But where it does cross the line is when you find yourself wanting that more, mm-hmm, than God. That is where there's a problem. But the Lord wants you to be honest with, mm-hmm, him and bring that to him and say, Father, help me to know that you're enough.
And can I just say too, like, focusing on the passion of the Christ and the story of the cross and all of that, if you've been a believer a long time, sometimes that feels like walking through the motions. It feels like I've heard this a million times. And so I used to feel guilty sometimes for, like, on an Easter Sunday, like, I'm not tearing up and I should be, like, I gotta picture Jesus on that cross being beat, you know. And like,
I'm sorry. No, I know what you mean.
You might not always emotionally connect to that moment.
And that's okay.
But what you can do is you can pray and ask the Lord, even though you were sacrificed once and for all, it only happened once.
Yeah.
Please make it as fresh for me as the day I first believed in you.
Yes, Lord.
And I have specifically prayed that prayer because there have been times in my life where I felt like numb,
mm-hmm,
to his suffering and what he did because I've just talked about it for so long, mm-hmm, you know? And I said, Lord, just make this fresh for me again. And he did. And I recently went through and was reading in the Gospels,
Glory
just reading through. And I was just like, I've read the story. I've memorized these passages. And I was just bawling over my Bible,
Jesus,
because he did that. He made it
new. You don't think it was the hormones, right? With that? You
know, it's like, I don't remember when it was.
I'm kidding.
But there's times when he will refresh that for you and he'll remind you of what he did for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be just what he did on the cross, but what he has done since the cross to make you more like Jesus. Because that's every day.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. And I want to move into this. This is where I'm working on.
Come on.
Is where I move into where I am worshiping him for who he is.
Yeah.
Whether he was
not what he does.
Else. Yes, because I grew up in a camp where it was all about getting stuff from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was a guinea, like he was not a guinea pig, a genie.
Yes.
And so now I'm trying to, like, be excited about knowing he's Jehovah Jireh, that he is Jehovah Rapha, that he is who he says he is in these passages.
Mm.
So that's powerful. I love that. And the Holy Spirit will reignite that. That's the power. Go read Acts. Dunamis power, y'all. If you pray and ask that, because I grew up, too, in the church as a Christian, and sometimes it can become that, and it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to help ignite, like, woo, I'm saved.
Well, we're going to close out the show with this amazing song by Elevation Worship called Jireh. Y'all, let these words wash over you. And if you are praying to have a child or maybe adoption or maybe just in the situation of your family, you need peace. Maybe that you don't even relate to the issues of Hannah's heart, but you just need God to provide in some way. You're in a dark place and you need hope. Then let the words of this song wash over you. Let this story, go read Genesis. Go read Genesis chapter 22 and see how God has been the God who provides. It's a absolutely beautiful story. And thank you guys so much.
That was good.
For listening to Hannah's Heart today.
I enjoyed this.
We're going to do some more Hebrew words, so I hope you come back and help us break it down, because I love your fresh perspective.
I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I can do to let you down. It doesn't take a trophy to make you proud. I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Ooh.
Going through a storm, but I won't go down. I hear your voice carried in the rhythm of the wind to call me out. You would cross an ocean. I can see so clear what it's all about.